When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I've eaten a lot of that drink.
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take
him out. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Joe Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Sam Lovin. He's filling in for Joe Shasky. It's the morning roast here. We got you for 2 more hours, and we've been talking a lot of 49ers football. We've been fired up about Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. And by the way, the season's not over, folks. We got 3 more games to go here before we finally can actually talk about extensions and contracts and who you cut, who you don't cut. And we're going to be diving into this matchup this Sunday out in Miami with Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz, who's going to be joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Also, shout out to all of us and all of you watching on Twitch, Twitter, or YouTube. We are streaming live on all those platforms, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Sam Lubman, Joe Spadoni here. And we welcome in Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz of our sister station out in Miami, 560 WQAM, co-host of the Joe Rose Show there. Hollywood, how you doing, bro?
Guys, thank you for having me on the show. I certainly appreciate it. You know, it's like traveling back in time. We just finished 4 hours of morning radio here, and it's great to be with you guys.
Real quick, Danny, how did you get the name Hollywood? Because the only Hollywood I know of other in sports is Marquise Hollywood Brown, who's trying to rehab from his chest injury. How did you get the name, and what are you doing on the East Coast if you're Hollywood?
Well, we actually have a Hollywood down here, a Hollywood in Florida.
But
I will tell you, it was a name given to me by Joe when I was trying to work my way up at the station. Thought I was acting a little too big time at the time, and he started calling me that. So that probably goes back about 15 years now.
There you go. I love it. I'm going to just call you Hollywood the rest of the way then. Hollywood.
That works.
There you go. This matchup this week, and for a lot of Niners fans, you know, after last week's loss to the Thursday Night Football to the Los Angeles Rams, it's been like, all right, well, our season's basically cooked. Let's move into offseason talk. Let's move into Kyle Shanahan. Let's move into John Lynch. Are we going to pay Brock Purdy? Aren't we? But I'm looking at the rest of this regular season, and there's a lot to play for still when it comes to one Brock Purdy. I liken him to what's going on right now with the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa. They paid Tua. They've paid Jalen Waddle. They've paid Tyreek Hill. And it really hasn't worked out for the best so far this season and going forward. They got Mike McDaniel, obviously former offensive coordinator with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. What's kind of the move and the vibe, I should say, when it comes to, you know, Tua, McDaniel? I'm Tyreek Hill's tweeting now, I should get into coaching. He was a DNP. Him and Jalen Waddle, DNP. Terron Armstead, what's going on right now with the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, you know, you guys, it is funny. You guys do have some of the similar things that we're dealing with, except for the fact that you guys have played in Super Bowls recently, and the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game in 24 years since the year 2000. So it's a little bit of a different situation down here. And I will tell you, fans have had enough. It's just things have snowballed once again for this team. This season went a little different than last year. Obviously, the Dolphins were the best offense in football through most of the season last year, and then they ran into some good teams, they ran into some cold weather, and they folded. And there was a lot of hope coming into this season after giving out those big contracts you just talked about that, you know, maybe they'd find a way to get over the hump. And unfortunately, it's looked significantly worse this year. They did lose some players, some good players in free agency. You obviously can't keep everyone. But, you know, the big issue right now is Chris Greer. He's the general manager here. He did not put together a good team this year. One of his biggest mistakes, one of the biggest flaws on this team was the backup quarterback situation. And they whiffed badly on that, knowing that Tua is very injury prone. And granted, he did get through last season without any of those concussions, and everyone kind of, you know, kind of forgot about it. It was an afterthought after, you know, after that last season, but that obviously popped up again this year. And the backup quarterback situation was a real miss by this organization that cost them some games certainly. And now it just looks like, you know, offensive line problems have been really rough. And, you know, again, this is a team that is supposed to have an explosive offense. They scored 12 points against Houston. I mean, they just look helpless when they play any sort of playoff caliber team.
Well, this conversation we've been having, Hollywood, in regards to trust level right now, and 49ers fans and their trust level when it comes to John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, has kind of been all over the place. I wonder what the trust level right now is with Dolphins fans in Mike McDaniel. Obviously, he burst onto the scene. He's this new young hotshot guy. He's kind of quirky. He wears the glasses. He's kind of molded into that Miami lifestyle, if you will, when it comes to his hair, when it comes to his whole style. But it's cool when you're winning. When you start losing, it becomes, all right, this is kind of annoying. Is this a shtick kind of a thing? What's the temperature from the fan base when you mention one Mike McDaniel?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You know, when he came in and things were, you know, looking great, and Tua was launching the ball downfield to Tyreek Hill, and, you know, they were putting up, you know, 30, 40, 50 points against some of these teams. Yeah, it was awesome. It was fun to watch. It was the best Dolphins football we've seen. Again, you know, we don't have a lot in common with you guys with that playoff drought, so it's a little tough to almost, you know, even compare when you talk about the trust level with you know, with GM and coach and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's this narrative now going around with this team that they're soft, right, and that they sort of embody their head coach to an extent. And Mike is known for being a player's coach. He's known for, you know, not being the toughest of them, right? He's not Dan Campbell. He's like the opposite of a Dan Campbell type of guy. So, unfortunately, people believe that this team is just soft, and that's from a physical and, you know, now kind of a mental standpoint as well. And again, any time this team has gone up against a playoff caliber team, they have just completely folded. I mean, they lay eggs against these teams. They went up and played Green Bay and in the cold, and that thing was a mess on Thanksgiving. And then again, last week's game, I think, was a perfect example. I mean, you go up against the Houston team that's essentially like a fringe playoff team, and, you know, there's no weather issues, nothing to complain about in a dome over there. And Tua throws three picks and bad picks, and the defense kept them in it. That's been kind of the thing with the common theme with all these games. The defense keeps you in it. But the offense just, for whatever reason, cannot figure things out against these good teams. And it's become very, very frustrating for fans down here.
Yeah, Hollywood, I did catch a bit of your guys' show this morning, the Joe Rose Show out there. And you guys started the show off by playing a clip. I guess Mike McDaniel's asked by one of your reporters out there, basically, do you expect to be back next year? And he gave a long kind of, I'll call it kind of generic rambling answer. He understands the job. You got to adjust, all that stuff. I'm curious, though, just from where you're standing looking at things, is this a situation, like, do you expect Mike McDaniel to still be on the sideline for the Miami Dolphins next year?
You know, it's really a tough question, to be quite honest with you, because I think the root of the problem here starts at general manager. And Chris Greer has been a common theme with all these bad Dolphins teams. And so I think if someone were to go, it would be him. The issue that I see with firing Mike McDaniel, he and Tua are tied at the hip, right? And that's kind of the deal right now is you have a quarterback who is completely rehabbed. They were ready to move on. Brian Flores was the coach when Tua came into the league, and he didn't want Tua, and Tua was terrible with him, and it looked like the Dolphins had a massive miss. Now, it still looks like they missed on Tua, to be quite honest with you, but the only issue right now is that you have all those guys we talked about before, massive contracts. I don't know what they can do with the Tyreek Hills of the world, Jalen Waddle, and, you know, some of these other guys on the offensive side of the ball. But again, you gave two of the largest contracts in franchise history. So there's nothing you can do at this point to move on from that, essentially. So I think as long as Tua's going to be the quarterback, they're going to stick with him. I think you kind of have to stay with Mike McDaniel because, again, Mike is really responsible for Tua in the way that he has played when he's looked good.
Yeah, so we got Danny Hollywood Rabinowitz. He just goes by Hollywood, joining us here on the Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Sam Lubman. He is the co-host of the Joe Rose Show on our Odyssey sister station, 560 WQAM, out in Miami. It's a great show. Definitely check it out on that free Odyssey app. Hollywood, you bring up Tua, and I want to pivot there now because here out in the Bay Area, we are staring down the barrel, so to speak, of a big payday for Brock Purdy. And there's a lot of nervousness and apprehension over what that deal will do to the roster in terms of the ability to put talent around Brock. We've seen the Dolphins, they pay to it, and they're still able to get talent around him. But the question I have for you simply is, as we anticipate a big payday coming for Brock Purdy, when you look at the contract that Tua got going and everything and how that's gone since then, is there like a sense of regret of paying Tua all that money? If you could go back in time and stop that deal, do you think a lot of Dolphins fans would do that? Is there just a general kind of regret of giving Tua all of this money, considering all the things that have happened?
Yeah, so look, there were two choices the Dolphins had with Tua's deal. They could have let him play out the fifth-year option and see how things went this year and then signed him to a deal, or they could have, you know, signed him during the camp, you know, during the offseason, which they did. And, you know, look, you can't have your quarterback upset and moping around. And, you know, a lot of the players, they liked Tua a lot. They were going to bat for him, and it became a big topic of conversation. And it's like, do you really want to go into the season with your quarterback unhappy because he doesn't have his contract? When, again, the issue with this Dolphins team is they have built this thing to win now. They built it very poorly, and they didn't do it correctly, but that was the thinking, right, is that we are trying to win right now. There is certainly going to be no better option than Tua, right, that's going to come along for us. So that's kind of why, you know, we went and gave him the deal that they gave him. And, yes, they were able to put some talent around him, but you'll see on Sunday the offensive line is an utter disaster, right? They can't run the football at all. They have they have other issues on this team that certainly weren't addressed. And so, you know, yes, I think at the end of the day, like, you kind of had to give them the contract, right? And nobody expected this thing to go this poorly. I think there were people that were not sold on Tua, obviously, because of the struggles in the big games going back to last year. But I just think it's tough to go into a season with a quarterback who's upset about his contract when you're in a win-now situation, right? The Dolphins were like, this is our window is now. And so that's kind of why they went all in on this thing. And again, it's just been like a massive, massive backfire.
Well, the thing I don't get, Hollywood, and maybe this is unfair to say, because you do have to go all in with something. And you brought in McDaniel, and you've seen that him and Tua can do well together. But as they were negotiating that, and as they were trying to get them that contract, I was like, you're in the AFC. You've got Burrow. You've got Josh Allen within your own division. You've got Mahomes. You've got just all these quarterbacks. And I'm thinking, there's just no chance in hell that Tua is going to beat those guys in the playoffs. This is just me, an outside observer. I understand that you have to pay a quarterback. I understand. Yeah, and the options weren't great. But I'm looking with Brock Purdy. I'm saying, I'm in the NFC, and I know I could beat Jared Goff. That's happened. I know I could beat Jordan Love. I know I could beat Jalen Hurts. Like, so it's one thing to pay Brock Purdy because I know what I'm getting within that conference. It was just tough for me last year thinking about paying Tua all that money because inevitably I just know when push comes to shove, I just don't think they're good enough with him to be a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson type of squad.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're not, right? I mean, that's and looking at it now, you can obviously say that. But again, it came down to a couple of things. First off, who were you going to get that would be anywhere near that good, right? I mean, you could run around and try to find an aging vet. You know, look how the Aaron Rodgers thing has worked with the Jets. That thing has been a bigger disaster than this thing. So, you know, you could have gone and done something like that. The other issue, it goes back to this. Look, Chris Greer, the GM, picked Tua. Mike came in here and has worked with Tua, and Tua's his guy. So you have the two most, you know, biggest voices in the franchise that were like, hey, this is our guy. He can get us to where we want to get to. Stephen Ross, the owner, is the kind of guy that listens to his football people, and he will pay whatever they ask him to pay. He is known for shelling out money. He's redone everything around the stadium, the practice facility. It's all new stuff, and he is not cheap when it comes to paying guys. But, you know, look, he listened to his football guys, and unfortunately, you had a GM in Chris Greer who drafted Tua and was obviously going to, you know, put it on the line for him. And you have a coach that is, you know, has rehabbed them, and Tua's his guy. So again, you have two guys that are the biggest voices in the franchise that were saying Tua's their guy. So it wasn't going to be really much of a debate. I mean, they wanted to find a way to pay him. They did. And, you know, unfortunately now you're kind of stuck with it. Now, can you find a way to maybe, you know, fix the offensive line in the off season and add some other pieces to this team, I guess. But, you know, again, we're just still patching up holes. And I think this roster is deeply flawed. And I do think that they could probably use someone else in the GM role to be making the decisions moving forward. But I think you guys got an interesting situation with Brock Purdy. But I will tell you, at least he can win a, you know, big game. So.
Again, NFC, though, because when he went up against Patty Mahomes, like Tua Tagovailoa and that Kansas City Chiefs defense, they came up just a little bit short, but that's kind of the story of Kyle Shanahan's career thus far as well. Hey, we appreciate the time, Danny. Just one more for you real quick. You probably saw what Brian Baldinger said, or if you didn't, you saw it somewhere else, but he said it just the other day here on our station. Brian Baldinger, obviously our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, does great work. I think he joins you guys there on the station as well.
I think he joined them this morning, actually.
Oh, wow, so there you go. Sam Darnold for Brock Purdy. I want to get an outsider's perspective on this. Would you do it? And the price point is a big thing for me here, too, because it's one season of Sam Darnold in a good situation. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got Jordan Addison. And it's been a down year for Brock Purdy, who's Juwan Jennings has been his number one wide receiver. And if I polled America, they probably don't even know who Juwan Jennings is. Would you make that move if you had the opportunity to switch Sam Darnold for a cheaper contract than one Brock Purdy who might make $50 to $60 million?
All right, well, let me start by asking you this. Are fans on board with Brock Purdy? Because I already get enough heat from Tua fans down here. Tua's fans are very intense, and they don't like when you talk bad about him. I don't want another fan base upset with me at this point. So, I mean, are people all in on Brock Purdy, or are they pretty
split? The Purdy stands, Danny, have quieted down a lot in the last few weeks during this losing streak. I think his worst game as a professional was last Thursday when they couldn't even score a touchdown. It's been all quiet on the Purdy front, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, look, guys, again, you've been to Super Bowls. You've had success. You've had success in the playoffs. We know nothing about that. So you guys seem to be doing something right up there. I know that this season hasn't been the best, and I know you're dealing with some injuries and stuff. But, you know, it seems like the sample size is decent enough for Brock Purdy at this point, right, to say that he can play at a relatively high enough level. It would seem that the sample size is big enough to me, at least. But, yeah, I don't want to tell you to get rid of your guy, have people all upset with me or anything like that, but I would probably ride with what you guys have been doing. You had a lot of success. We don't know anything about that down here in Miami, unfortunately.
Hollywood here. I got one last one here before we get you out of here. And so I first came across the show that you do with Joe Rose about 11 years ago when I was a college kid at the University of Miami. I graduated there in class of 2015, so anytime we get someone from Miami on this station, I have to ask a Miami Hurricanes question.
Oh, boy.
We just saw a quarterback out here for Cal, Fernando Mendoza. He's a Miami guy. He knows Mario Cristobal. He entered the transfer portal. John Mateer, he's off the board. He's going to Oklahoma. Is Fernando Mendoza going to be at the U next year?
I think it's very possible. I know that there's some ties with the father and Mario Cristobal. I know they're very close. I think it's certainly very possible. And hey, look, Miami's got a great selling point now. After being a middling ACC team for a very long time, they got a quarterback that they brought in out of the transfer portal in Cam Ward, who is going to be, he could very well be the top pick in this upcoming draft. And we'll see how things go through you know, all the workouts and everything they're going to do. But, you know, to me, that's a pretty good selling point right now. If you're a transfer portal quarterback and you're looking to come in and play somewhere, they're going to have a quarterback drafted really high in the first round, which they haven't had in a very long time, as you know. So I do think mm-hmm. that's a possibility. And I think, you know, Miami, again, still has a lot of talent left on this roster. So I think it'd be a great situation for him to come in here.
And thus concludes our University of Miami talking points here on the Morning Roast. Danny, appreciate the time, man. You were too good to us. We kept you a long time. Go out and enjoy Cubano for me, please, because we don't have any of those here in the Bay
Area.
Get
a nap, too. I know you're a morning radio guy, so I know you need your nap right now. So
it is nap time. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Hollywood.
That's Danny Hollywood Rabinovitz. Courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? So a lot of stuff there. They're down on Tua right now. They're down on Mike McDaniel. But again, their level of expectations are not nearly what the 49ers are. So I get it. It's more doom and gloom here because you're just in a Super Bowl within this calendar year if you're a 49ers fan. The Dolphins, they're not in a position where they're just going to move off of Mike McDaniel into a willy-nilly like that. Not to say that the 49ers are going to do that with Kyle Shanahan, Sam Lubman, and Brock Purdy, but it just gives some perspective, right, about where this 49ers team has been and all that they've accomplished, albeit haven't won a Super Bowl. But the Dolphins haven't won a playoff game, and as you just said, in 24 years.
Yeah, and Spino, I've been around that fan base, man. It is hard being a Dolphins fan, because think about it. I mean, for as tough as it is right now for the 49ers with Brock Purdy. Whoa, watch the language there. I'm curious how many people even get that reference there.
Shots fun.
But, well, it's like Dolphins fans, I mean, think about what they've had to deal with since Dan Marino retired, you know, after that 63-7 beatdown to Jacksonville back in, I believe it was the 99 playoffs.
Jimmy Johnson was his head coach.
It was Jimmy Johnson's last game as a head coach. Mm-hmm. And what a way to go out. Ever since then, though, they have been staring up at the behind of one Tom Brady in the New England Patriots. And then when Tom Brady finally, you know, ages out and moves on to Tampa, and the Dolphins don't have to deal with him anymore, along comes Josh Allen. Now you're staring up at him. So they have just been buried underneath two incredibly transcendent quarterbacks for a quarter of a century now. So the misery of that fan base and the frustration there is at an all-time high, because there is no sport in South Florida that is bigger than football. It is ultimate king down there. Not just pro football, but college football too. They go rabid for the Canes down there. Not just the alumni, everybody. And then, of course, high school football.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't love them down there?
No, you gotta go a little bit further north there. Same with the Bucks. But yeah, high school football, it's big too. Miami loves good football, and they love their Dolphins. And it is as frustrating as it has been for the 49ers, it has been 50 times more frustrating for Dolphins fans down South Florida.
Well, and I think they're in a way, like, there's perspective here, right? And we're talking about the season, if this is over right now. I mean, their Super Bowl chances are over for San Francisco, but perspective always helps in situations like this, because you know what? The 49ers, they should be thankful that this isn't an open league and there's just one full conference, because if they were in the AFC, that's when I would start panicking with Brock Purdy. Because I do think Purdy is better than Tua. I do think that you can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy, as Jerry Rice, as Kurt Warner, as Baldy, as Greg Cosell mentioned. Everything has to be right around him. But if they were in the AFC with
You're
Joe
cooked.
Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes, it would just be tough. And I get it. Joe Burrow's not making the playoffs this year. I get it. It's not the end all be all, but Justin Herbert, he's probably going to be in the playoffs. He's having a great season. I know they just lost last week to Tampa. Disappointing loss there. Don't have the talent, I think, on offense to really
compete. He's on a team that's on the up and up,
though. He's been very good with Jim Harbaugh in his first time as a head coach there with the formerly San Diego, now Los Angeles Chargers.
Make that slip up.
Still, it's still weird. I don't like it. But they should be thanking their lucky stars that they are not in the AFC. You're still in the NFC.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with ShopPay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Yes, the conference is getting better. Jalen Hurts is very good. Matt Stafford has won a Super Bowl. Jordan Love is very good. Sam Darnold's having a renaissance season. But, and it's a big but, I don't fear Jared Goff. I don't fear Sam Darnold. I don't fear Jordan Love. I don't fear anyone in the AFC, in the NFC when it comes to the quarterback play. So that's what I hang my hat on, that I know Brock Purdy can beat Jordan Love. He could beat the Jared Goffs of the world. He can go toe-to-toe with those guys when things are going well. It's when things aren't going well around him. We're seeing this season, it's very difficult to try and be a competitor like a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen that doesn't have the plethora of talent around them.
And I think that's a benefit you have for the 49ers here as we about to hit this break, is that, you know, if you're the Dolphins, if you're Tua, you have to go through at least a couple of those elite four quarterbacks, probably in cold weather, to get to the Super Bowl. And for Brock Purdy and the 49ers, just got to beat one of them. And that's whichever one of those four ends up coming out of the AFC. And I think it's a lot better to have to only worry about beating one of those elite four than multiple of those elite four. And that's why, like, as down as this year has been for the 49ers, I still have faith that there are pieces in the box there down in Santa Clara that you could put together and have this team back up in the contender tier of the NFC next year. It's a down year this year. It stinks. Like, no one likes that. But this is far from the ultimate downfall that Robin Sanbruno predicted at the beginning of this year.
What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Lucky California. More of your calls, more of your texts, 888-957-9570. Reacting to what Danny Hollywood Rabinovitz just had to say in regards to Tua, in regards to Brock Purdy. And I think we're going to pivot a little bit to the Dubs here as well, because they are back in action tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies. Coverage of that starts at 4 o'clock with Warriors Live right here on 95.7 The Game with Willard and Dibs, before handing it off to the voice of the Golden State Warriors, Tim Roy, at 4:30, tip-off at 5, again, right here on 95.7 The Game. Dennis Schroeder making his debut. Let's get our thoughts on that. And is Stephen Curry, could he still be the number one on a championship-level team? Steve Kerr thinks so. I have my doubts. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Spadoni, Lubman, 95.7 The Game.
This is Filmo Mike, and the Doobie Awards are this Friday at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10. I'll be there. You better be there, too. Now back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky. Shasky, stop with the long questions.
Spadoni and Lubman in for Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky, and it's Sam Lubman asking the long questions here. Just kidding, Sam. You're doing a hell of a job.
Anna Mendoza.
The Doobie Legend Awards are tomorrow. Yeah, we had to sneak in that University of Miami question.
Gotta be a little self-serving, you know.
We just had Danny Hollywood Rabinovitz on via the River Islands guest line. He is a part of our sister station, the Joe Rowe Show, WQAM 560 out in Miami, talking Tua, talking Niners, talking Purdy. They're playing each other this Sunday out in MIA. Was that the 305, right? Is that what Pitbull is, Mr. 305?
305, yeah.
That's how I know. Pitbull, like, he's the Mr. Miami guy, so that's how I know these things.
I'll rep that Trail 5, as we said.
There you go. Doobie Awards, you repping those tomorrow, Sam Lubman?
Oh, I will be hardcore repping the Doobie Awards. It's going to be a great time out there at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale, 6 to 10 a.m. Get there early, though, because space could be limited. So we have... So we've been taking RSVPs. Go to 957thegame.com. The link's right there at the top of the page to RSVP to this event. We have over 95 confirmed RSVP yeses right now, and a lot of them have a plus one that they're attaching to it. And knowing how our roasters act, I am certain that there is a lot of roasters who will be there who did not RSVP. They're just going to show up without saying anything because that's just how our listeners are. They don't need to be formal. They're just exactly. He's not scared. They're just going to show up, and it's going to be a great time. Like, this is going to be one of the greatest parties in radio. This is about celebrating the listeners, celebrating the roasters, celebrating the show, and celebrating the fact that there is going to be free food and drink provided by our friends at Laughing Monk Brewing. So shout out to all those guys there for hosting us. It's going to be a great time tomorrow, Spadoni. I've been putting together all the sound for the Doobies all week long, and I have just been laughing through all these moments.
Shout out Laughing Monk, am I right?
I have been laughing. I've been raging, too. It's a little stressful putting this together, but it is going to be... I'm telling everyone right now, it's going to be a great time. You're going to want to be tuned in and listening, and you should be down there, though.
Absolutely. As far as the drinks go, I believe it's water that will be provided. If you want to get the alcoholic beverages... you're on your own. We don't want people getting wasted at 6 a.m.
Here's the thing about that, though, is that's not going to be the case.
No, it is. No.
Oh, it is?
It is, yes.
Oh, I was told that there's going to be a drink ticket that you're going to be given.
Come on, Sam. I got someone in my ear. I got the voice of God in my ear telling me these things.
Oh, see, he's in your ear, not mine.
On the fly. All right.
Oh, I was providing.
So we got the food there. That's all that matters, though. You're 6 in the morning. You want to get... You want to ease in. So there you go.
We're ripping it right off the bat at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Well, it is the Doobie Awards. 888-957-9570, though. We just had our guy Danny Rabinovitz. I had a hard time calling him Hollywood. I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm like, I don't.
Well, there
know
is a Hollywood
well.
In Florida. So
I'm calling you
sense.
Dan. I don't. I'm like, I'm not calling you.
What's his name?
You're a grown man. I'm not calling you Hollywood. I'm calling you by your name.
We call Shasky the Butcher.
I don't though. I call him Joe.
Well, like, that's your name's Joe.
I call Guru Daryl or Goo at times. You know why? Because I just know him. If I met
I don't think
Danny,
I've ever heard anyone call him Daryl. The only time I've ever
Steiny
heard
has.
Okay, the only other time I've ever heard anyone
That's
refer to him
Don't
as Daryl was when he called into that Pirates radio station on Mother's Day to yell and scream about the Pirates.
That was great. That was actually an all-time call, just not even at our station. It was over, I don't even
this
know what our station
was over. An all-time 3? Guru moment. I don't even call him Daryl. I call him Guru. It'd be weird to call him Daryl. Some guys, it's just weird to call him their first name. Like, the guy behind the glass right now, I always call him Rizzo. It's weird to call him Steven.
It's his name, though.
I know, but he's like, Rizzo.
My name is not Spadoni. My name is Joe.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, the more you know.
I just called you Spadoni all the time.
888-957-9570. Just diving into this matchup this Sunday, and we were talking about showing up for the Doobie Awards. Well, who's going to show up for the 49ers? The 49ers just haven't shown up, quite honestly. Outside of that win against the Chicago Bears, which, let's face it, it's the Bears.
It's the Bears.
They stink. They got blown out against the Bills, blown out against the Packers, choke job against the Seattle Seahawks, and... They couldn't even score a touchdown against the Los Angeles
Rams.
It was bad. And when I hear Danny talking about the Miami Dolphins and how much they stink, and I'm looking at their injury report right now, their starting tackle, Terron Armstead, DNP. Calais Campbell, future Hall of Famer, defensive tackle, DNP. It was rest, so we'll see. Tyreek Hill, wrist, DNP. Jordan Poyer, their starting safety, DNP. Rest, we'll see. Jaylen Waddle, though, knee, DNP. Like, I want to start seeing some wins here to finish up the season, to make my the mentals feel better about this team. Because to hell with the draft position, if you're in the teens, it doesn't matter. Whether it's the 12th pick, the 15th, that really, unless you're in the top 10, and I don't really think the 49ers are going to itch their way. Spoiler alert, there's been a lot of bad football this year, so 49ers fans, I'm sorry. You're not squeezing in the top 10, even if you lose out. I'm not really concerned about that. I'm concerned about this team playing well and building some sort of momentum heading into next season. That starts with the quarterback. It starts with the wide receiver, the rookie Ricky Pearsall, and it starts with his defense outside of Nick Bosa showing up. Some of these young guys, Sam Lemon, Malik Mustafa. I want to see what Hufanga can do in these next couple of games. Dre Greenlaw. It was very fun to see him last week. Can he build on that?
Shape, because he's, I believe, an unrestricted free agent after this.
They got to bring him back.
They have to bring him back. So, but you know, these next three games, he needs to juice his value up a little bit, maybe, if he wants to get paid a little more. I can't imagine Dre Greenlaw going elsewhere, but this is the NFL. Weird things do happen. One thing that Hollywood mentioned that kind of caught my attention, Spadoni, was, he's talked about, you know, you can't have an unhappy quarterback with no contract. And we've always talked about, you know, who are the 49ers bidding against when it comes to Brock Purdy? And I've always kind of felt like the Niners aren't really bidding against anyone. They're bidding basically against a holdout here. And I feel like it's very easy to say for Brock, you know, just give him the franchise tag next year. Is I don't know, what were your thoughts on that, the idea of, you know, you could give Brock maybe not the deal that he wants, but maybe a different deal? But is there a risk of just then you have an unhappy Brock Purdy at training camp next year? Is that something that you think could be, is there some there to that one? Or
I just think he's going to hold out and try to get a big contract, and I don't think he cares. He's already seen Brandon Ayuk do it. He's already seen Trent Williams do it. He's already seen Nick Bosa do it. Those are three captains. Those are like three of the best players on the team. So what would make it different if Brock Purdy decided, oh, because he's an aw shucks guy? You know, he's like, oh, he's a middle America. I'm Brock Purdy. I'm nice. I'm going to do whatever it takes. No. He's trying to get paid. He's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm trying to get my money.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm getting married. Has he gotten married yet? Or he's engaged?
Yeah, he is married.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, start a family here.
Franchise tag is still $30 million.
Great. I want more security than that. That's the thing. I want more guaranteed money because I know I can get it.
Yeah.
Because I am betting that you can't pivot to someone else. I'm betting that, oh, you want to go get Kirk Cousins? The guy's a stiff. He stinks. Mm-hmm. He just pooped his pants against the Las Vegas Raiders, who are drafting number one overall probably. That's how bad he is. Oh, you want to go pivot to Sam freaking Darnold? Okay, fine. Trade me. I'll find someone that will pay me then. Mm-hmm. Let's see how it works out with Sam Darnold, Mr. Seeing Ghosts, who's had one good season. All right? Oh, you want to go pivot to a rookie? Yeah, good luck. Who are you going to get? Jalen Milroe? Kyle McCord? Like, come on, please. Miss me with that crap. That's what I'm saying. I'm Brock Purdy and his agent. I dare you to find someone else, Kyle Shanahan.
No, I believe it's, and again, if I'm really kind of curious, is that all this Brock Purdy talk this year, and I brought this up before, and it's the fact that all of it's been happening under the umbrella of what Jed York said before the season about resetting the market with Brock. And I am very curious how those comments are going to play a role in these talks. Like, there's a part of me that thinks that they're not going to have as much weight because you can easily make the comment that you have not played like a reset the market quarterback this year, Brock. But the fact that the owner said it, or the CEO, the president, CEO, whatever Jed's official title is, the biggest, most important voice down at Levi Stadium saying that, if I'm Brock's agent, I'm absolutely doing everything I can to use those words against the 49ers to get that deal. But I feel like it's just, at the end of the day, that's just what the situation the Niners are in. And that's kind of what I've been saying earlier, is you just got to make peace with it. Because there really are no other options if you want to see the 49ers win a Super Bowl. It is Brock Purdy, right now, of all your options that are presented to you on the table, he is the best option for this franchise. You could say, I want this guy, I want that. You have the options that are in front of you. We all want one of those elite four. You don't have one of those elite four. So you got to make do with Brock. And again, as we have seen, Brock is absolutely good enough. He's gotten to the Super Bowl, and he got him to the precipice of the Super Bowl the year before. So he's shown a body of work that he is capable of doing it. And if you're the 49ers, that's the best you can get right now, is that can you get a guy who can get you in that position to win the game?
Steve Young, if you missed this sound, Hall of Famer, former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, joined Dan Patrick and talked about, you know, the warning signs of signing a quarterback, maybe like a Brock Purdy, where other things need to be going well around him, to a fat contract.
Look, I think that Dak Prescott, the Cowboys are going to suffer for a long time because they paid him a number that now, in many ways, takes from the ability to build teams to go help you for the very thing that you need. And so that's the dilemma, because everyone loves Brock and loves his game and loves his efficiency and his leadership and everything else. But we got to make sure we have the money to put the people with him to go win it. Because if the goal is Super Bowls, if the goal is winning some rank and file regular season games, maybe get to the playoffs, that's a different goal. And that might mean different. But if you're talking about we want to go to the Super Bowl, we need people to be there to help Brock. And if he doesn't, and so that it becomes just how much is there available? And it is a zero-sum game in some ways with a salary cap.
The goal was try to go to the Super Bowl again this year. They failed. They have to pivot, and they have some hard questions that they're going to have to answer, Steve Young. That is a fact. But pivoting from the red and gold to the blue and gold, the Golden State Warriors, what is the goal of this season? Well, I think it's to make the playoffs if you're the Golden State Warriors. And right now, they would be positioned to be a play-in team. So you would like to be a playoff team, and they made a move that could boost them and their chances to do that. Dennis Schroeder, who's going to be making his Golden State Warriors debut tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies right here on 95.7 The Game, Sam Lubman. Certainly you hope that he could be that. Is there another big move, potentially, that the Golden State Warriors can make? Well, is it Zion? Is it Brandon Ingram? Is it, no, I don't think anymore, Giannis Antetokounmpo? It's funny how things change in a month, right? It was a month ago, let's go get Giannis. And now, a month later, the Milwaukee Bucks, let's go get Steph Curry. No, I'm kidding. But that's how things can change in this league. And right now, the Warriors are losers of 8 of their last 10. They need to get this thing rolling because this is a very difficult part of the schedule, as Jerry Jones likes to say. You got the Grizzlies, you got the T-Wolves, got the Pacers, and you got the Lakers on Christmas Day. No slouches in any of those when you look at some of the star players that each and every one of those teams has at their disposal. So, Sam Lubman, what were your expectations before we dive too much into this team? I want to know your expectations prior to this season and if they've changed at this point, December 19th, 2024, the year of our Lord.
Yeah, I'll say this. The expectations were definitely not go win a title or else. I just didn't think this team was good enough. The question I had at the beginning this year is I wasn't really sure how much better the Warriors were going to be. I know Bonte loves to talk about that 50-win plateau. I'm skeptical on it. I think, you know, I want to give myself some time to really evaluate this team to see just how good they can be. I gave myself 20 games to make a decision, and 20 games in, it was really hard to really make a decision because they got to a great start. And then as great as those first 12 games were, that's kind of how rough the 10 to 12 games that followed it were. So as far as the overall expectations, I feel like this is a team that if they play well enough, should not be in the play-in. I think they can win a first-round playoff series, depending on who they get. Right now, I feel like the ceiling for this Warriors team is, I feel like they might fall short in the conference finals if all things go well for this team. That's just looking at right now where I see it at. Again, that might be like a best-case scenario right now. So I don't think they're at that championship contender tier yet. Even with Dennis Schroeder on board, I do think Schroeder helps out a lot. He's going to solve that issue that the Warriors have at the two spot in the starting lineup. So that means you can keep Buddy Hield coming off the bench, which is, you know, what I believe to be the intention for Buddy this year was to bring him off the bench, and he excelled in that role early on. So that will help out there. It'll take some pressure off of Brandon Pajemski. The Warriors won't need to run the offense through him as much, which is good because anytime Brandon Pajemski does anything, Warrior fans lose their absolute mind. So, yeah, this is a great move for the Warriors that I do think will move them forward in a positive direction. I don't quite know, though, if they're, let's start talking about finals yet.
Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider and covers the team for The Athletic at a very high level, joined the Morning Roast yesterday, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Here's what he had to say about the Dennis Schroeder fit with the Golden State Warriors.
He is very adaptable. This is his eighth team in 12 years, which, you know, you could take in many ways, but one of the ways I'll take it is he can really kind of maneuver and evolve into various roles. I mean, I can remember back in his middle of his prime in Oklahoma City, he was coming off the bench and like a three-guard lineup. Remember, he used to play with Chris Paul and Shea at the same time. Mm-hmm. They still, like, anybody from that team, including Mark Daigneault, loves to talk about how important that team was and, like, the Thunder's kind of, like, slow rise, Shea's rise. But anyway, Schroeder was an important part of that. You remember him on those Lakers teams? He was, like, kind of like a pest defender off the bench. Obviously, he's been playing in Brooklyn as just, like, their primary scorer, primary ball handler. Like, he can do a lot of things and kind of, you know, he's shown he can kind of move into the exact type of role you need. So it may take a little bit, but I do like the fit because it seems to me he kind of fits everywhere.
Very adaptable, Dennis Schroeder. And I do question why a lot of people are like, oh, he's a locker room cancer. He's this. And I was like, well, whenever he's out on the court, I see him making plays. And I vehemently disagree that a player, just because he was young and brash when his Atlanta Hawk days was 6 years ago, back in 2018 was his last year with Atlanta, that he's the same player now. I think he's been humbled financially when he refused to sign that four-year, $80-plus million offer that the Lakers offered him a couple seasons ago. He hasn't come close to that number since. When it comes to all these different teams that have signed him, the Lakers, I think, signed him to a deal 2 years after that for like $1.6 million. And since then, he's played pretty damn well. Now, I heard Steiny yesterday, and it was interesting. I'll give Steiny that. Steiny and Gook coming up here in about...
Steiny is pretty interesting.
He's a very fascinating individual. He's not your typical host, as Matt Nahegan likes to say. He said that he's the point guard post-Steph Curry, potentially, for the Golden State Warriors. We're looking at the guy that could actually be the heir apparent to Stephen Curry at the point guard position.
Really?
At the point guard position.
That's a big responsibility.
Yes. After Steph, which I thought was interesting considering his age, considering his number, and considering that even Schroeder himself doesn't seem to think that he may be a Golden State Warrior even after this year. So there are expectations with this squad, with Dennis Schroeder now a part of it. Expectations that much better than getting out of the play-in? We'll see. But I do think this. When it comes to the Golden State Warriors and Stephen Curry and where we're at with him, we are seeing a little bit of the wear and tear, Sam Lubin. We're starting to see a guy
at
that
age 36.
Is age 36, is going to be 37 on Pi Day, March 14th next season.
Love pie.
Or next year, I should say. I do love pie as well. And 'tis the season. I'm a pecan pie. I'm a pumpkin pie. All the sort of pies.
I'm a pie pie.
Yes, banana cream pie as well. But where are we at with Stephen Curry being a true number one still on this team going forward? Because I do have my doubts that he could be the guy game in and game out in a given series when Andrew Wiggins is potentially your second best player. Now, he could be a 1A, 1B guy like LeBron and AD. Like, I think that could be the case. If you have an AD, LeBron type of situation, there could be a 1A, 1B scenario. But him being a bona fide number one on this squad, with Andrew Wiggins being your second best player, I'm going all around player because I think some people would argue Draymond Green, give his defensive prowess. I just don't think it's enough right now to get past, as you even think, a conference title. I seem to think even getting past the second round right now, I'd have a hard time seeing that. Given what I've seen from the Thunder, given what I've seen and what I know from the Dallas Mavericks with Luka, with Kyrie, and even with the Minnesota Timberwolves to a certain extent, we'll see. I think they're going to pick it up as the season goes on. And the Denver Nuggets, who I think we're all kind of sleeping on. I know they haven't been the Nuggets of a couple seasons, but I still seem to think that Jokic and Jamal Murray, and we'll see, by the way, because the Denver Nuggets, they've been kind of linked to a guy named Jimmy Butler down in South Beach. We're talking a lot of Miami. That could be a move that they make, pairing Jimmy and Jokic potentially in the West. That would be scary hours, I would believe. Just those two guys and their competitive nature and their level of play seems to ramp up when it matters most. So Eddie Johnson still thinks that Steph could be a number one, and Eddie Johnson, former NBA veteran, joined the Morning Roast yesterday in regards to Stephen Curry and whether he can still be a number one. Take a listen.
Yeah, I can. And it's based on how devastating he could be. And that's why he would still be a number one. Now, would it be a number one, but not quite there to number one? Like, he'll be better than his number two. He'd be more devastating. Like, you could bring an all-star there. Say, for instance, for example, say Jimmy Butler went there. Steph would still be number one. Like, even though people might say Jimmy Butler can do more, right? So that's the way I look at it. He's still going to, because he's devastating. Like, what he does can turn the game. And, you know, no, he's not going to get 10 rebounds. He's not going to get 10 assists. He's not going to rack up triple doubles. But what he will do, he will force your defense to have to deal with him the entire time he's on the floor. And that's the number one.
Yes, he does give defenses fits still. I will give him that. Stephen Curry is the greatest three-point shooter of all time. That in and of itself is going to cause defensive head coaches and opposing head coaches just nightmares to begin with. But is it enough as currently constructed on the Golden State Warriors? I'm not so sure. Sam Lubman, Stephen Curry as a number one still. Are you buying it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack from here. I mean, well, first, I want to backtrack to something you said a couple minutes ago, Spadonia, before we get into this number one question. That's talk about Dennis Schroeder and the fit. You know, I think there is that belief that, I wonder if when it comes to Schroeder, is it because he's bounced around so many teams, people just think that there's a character issue there.
Probably.
I wonder if that's the reason. But we had Evan Barnes on, what was it, today's? So I was on Tuesday. And we
a couple
had
days ago.
Something sure. like that. I don't know. None of these days. All these days blend together after a while. We had Evan Barnes on a couple days ago. He covered the Nets for Newsday Sports out in New York. And we asked him about, you know, what is Schroeder like, not just a player, but as a person. And he raved about the character that Dennis Schroeder brought to the Brooklyn Nets. So the idea that there's a situation there that could be brewing, I'm not buying that right now. So I think character-wise, and the fact that Slater talking about, you know, Anthony Slater saying that Schroeder's fit, you know, he can fit anywhere. He'll have no problem fitting
adaptable.
Anywhere.
He's that was adaptable.
Yes. Adaptable. It's very suggestible to be adaptable.
There you go.
You know, that gets me very excited, and especially we have a head coach like Steve Kerr who knows how to, you know, kind of get veterans involved with this team. He's been coaching. He's one of Kerr's strengths is coaching longtime veterans. I mean, that was kind of how he had this team so successful when Kevin Durant was here. Also, having Kevin Durant will also help you be successful. I don't want to discount that, but
I mean, the greatest player of that time. It's
my
nice
overall
to have.
Point. The overall point I'm trying to create here is that I do think the situation that Dennis Schroeder is coming into is very well is tailored very well for him to succeed, and for that success that he has to make the Warriors a more successful team, and that's why I think that, you know, on the high end, I think, yes, a Western Conference Finals appearance is on the table. I'm not saying book it. I'm saying, again, when you put the expectations on the high end, I believe that is a very reasonable goal for Warrior fans to have this year. Because, and this gets into the Steph situation where, you know, the phrase we always like to say, we've said the last couple of years, if you have Steph, you have a chance. You know, we had Antonio Daniels on a couple weeks ago before the Warriors hosted the Pelicans for that baseball series, and we asked, you know, do you still fear Steph Curry? And he said, absolutely. Like, the entire league still respects slash fears the game that Steph brings to the table. So that's always going to be a factor going into the playoffs. So as can he be the unquestioned number one, though, and carry a team like he used to? I think, yeah, though, if he's not there yet, we're getting to that point where he's no longer that guy. Well, like, it's you've seen it this year. The performance looks slightly slower. There was a moment a couple weeks ago I brought up a couple times before where just like I'm watching Steph play. I'm just like, oh my God, wow, he does kind of look a smidge older right now. Like, he does actually look like he's 36 years old.
You're seeing it with him. You're seeing it with LeBron. You're seeing it with KD at times.
LeBron at age 40 is finally starting to hit the age wall. Kevin Durant has been kind of slowing down for the last couple of years. I mean, Spadoni, we are seeing the legends that we grew up with finally hit that age wall in real time. And you see with Steph and Draymond Green too, they're both dealing with injuries this year that they have both admitted are new to them and kind of concern them. Steph with both of his knees, Draymond with the calf injury there. So yes, I do believe that Steph can be probably, he's not a number one anymore, but he's graduating into that. He needs a 1B to go along with his 1A, which brings me to some of the stuff that Bobby Marks said on Willard and Dibbs yesterday. He said on NBA Today last week, and Evan Giddings and I, we did Warriors This Week on Saturday.
Wow.
And I know the Evan Giddings drop. We brought up a potential Zion Williamson trade.
And I have sound of that, Sam Lubman.
What did Bobby Marks say about Zion Williamson? Because I'm feeling the Zion Williamson trade talk right now.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Zion just as a, listen, there's not many superstar players out there. You know, certainly Jimmy Butler's name has been out there. Brandon Ingram's out there. I think why I talked about Zion, and I think the only reason for Golden State, if they go down that path, is if you're not giving up much to do that. And it's because it's, you know, based on his injury history and the contract. His contract is one of the great contracts out there because there's no guarantees after this year. It's non-guaranteed for the next 3 years after here. So if you're going out and pursuing him, then that's there's less of a risk taking him on. Then you're saying, like, well, why would New Orleans do that? And that's right. Like, why would the Pelicans do that where they're not maximizing his value here? So I think Zion would make sense if you're giving up a first round pick and you know, maybe one or two players that match, not giving up Jonathan Kuminga, not giving up probably not even maybe Brandon Podziemski, as far as kind of like, you know, if it's Wiggins and an expiring contract, then that maybe makes a little bit more set and sense because the risk is not there for you if you're the Warriors.
And that's Bobby Marks, obviously, ESPN capologist. He knows all the ins and outs when it comes to being a general manager, worked in the front office of the Brooklyn Nets. He knows his stuff. And Zion Williamson is an intriguing name. I guess I think the name is sexier than the production you might get from a Zion Williamson. He was highly touted coming out of Duke, number one overall pick. We all know the big trade. Anthony Davis goes to the Lakers. The Pelicans get a haul back. They try to do the CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, three-headed monster, and it's been anything but that. You know that meme with the three-headed monster, the dragon, and there's the fourth dragon with the dumb face? All three of those guys, that's basically it. It just hasn't worked out in New Orleans, and they're going to blow it up again, and we'll see the moves that are going to be made in this next month, because I'm very fascinated to see who takes a chance on Zion, on Brandon Ingram. I don't think CJ McCollum has any left, but those two guys are intriguing. It's just, it's health with Zion for me, Sam
Lubman. It's absolutely that, and I understand that.
You can't stay healthy, man.
I understand that concern, and yeah, there is risk there with the health, but you look at the upside, though. We're always so focused on the negative and the worrying. You know, when I was worried, we're always so focused on that, but there are so many positives that I think are just so hard to ignore with Zion. And when he is healthy, he's an incredibly dynamic player. 2021, he played 61 games, about 33 minutes a game, 27 points.